Today on Blue 58, undrafted free agents are a hallmark of the Packers' success over the years. Who have they nabbed after the draft this time around?
Blue 58!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue 58, the one and only podcast of thepowersweep.com. I'm your host, John Meerdink, and I'm happy to be with you here for another episode. It's time for undrafted free agency. Well, it's over, essentially. The Packers have not officially announced their class, but we've got some pretty good reports on who they have signed, and we'll talk through those names here in a second. This list comes from AcmePackingCompany.com. No reason to doubt what's going on there. All pretty well sourced here. It's just sometimes you get a few bumps in the process and guys that are reported to have signed may end up going somewhere else. Take everything here with a grain of salt until the Packers officially announce things themselves. They also have a few guys coming in for rookie minicamp later this week on a tryout basis. We'll mention their names at the end here. But I think a tough year for undrafted free agents. Packers made a ton of draft picks. They made a ton of draft picks last year. There isn't much wiggle room here. Even among positions where you think that, you know, typically they would have some bodies in camp, you know, like safety or linebacker, something like that. The Packers quite famously spent a lot at safety and linebacker in this year's draft. They're loaded up at safety now. And it's really hard to see anybody coming in as an undrafted free agent who would unseat those guys. So not surprisingly, we don't have much in the way of defensive backs here in the undrafted free agent crop, which is quite small to this point. Let's just go ahead and talk through these guys, though, going through them in alphabetical order by first name, which leads us to Donovan Jennings out of USF, an offensive lineman there. 6'4", 323 pounds, an 8.93 relative athletic score based on his pro day numbers as a tackle. Zach Cruz of Packers Wire notes that it jumps to 9.65 if you run him as a guard, which is an important indicator about where I think he's going to end up in Green Bay. He had two of the three thresholds we generally look for as Packers offensive lineman. Did not do particularly well in the short shuttle, but hit on the 10-yard split for the 40 and the three-cone drill. He was Dane Brugler's 30th ranked tackle in this year's Beast. He was number 253 on the Pro Football Focus big board, so both of those are draftable grades. The Packers were able to get him as an undrafted free agent. An older guy, has been in college since 2018, appearing in 55 games over the past now, well, I guess that's 6 years. 45 starts as a left tackle, two as a right guard. So a little bit more positional versatility there. I'm guessing he kicks inside at this level just based on his height, but very solid Pro Football Focus grades over his last few seasons, especially on true pass sets. He's not quite as good as a run blocker, but Pro Football Focus said he specifically had a, quote, draftable grade as a pass blocker, end quote, which is, I think, noteworthy among undrafted free agents. If you're looking for a profile that he may remind you of here, and this is something we'll try to do for all of these guys, I think you're looking at somebody in the vein of maybe a John Runyon, a solid college tackle, maybe a little bit too small for the outside, but a very good athlete, especially when he kicks inside. May not have the ceiling that Runyon had and has now cashed in on, but I think that's the career path that you're looking for here for Jennings. Next up is James Ester, a defensive tackle out of Northern Illinois. 6'2.5", 289 pounds, not a fantastic athlete, 4.12 relative athletic score. Did not run, but did the agility drills and didn't overwhelm anybody with his performance in those drills. A 0.59 career production ratio, wasn't getting into the backfield a whole lot, not super outstanding there, even, you know, adjusting for interior off or defensive linemen. Played a lot of three technique defensive tackle, a lot of end at Northern Illinois. If the Packers are indeed headed for smaller interior defensive linemen, he fits the bill, as he is, again, only 289 pounds. If you're looking for a profile here, maybe a guy who's a little bit ahead of the curve of where Colby Wooden was a year ago. So Wooden gets taken by the Packers, a 270-something pound defensive tackle, air quotes there. Now is bulked up to close to 290. Ester here appears to have made the same sort of career or be on the same sort of career trajectory, except he was doing the interior stuff already in college. And is about the weight that Wooden is now. Wooden reportedly up near 290 pounds at this point. Next up is Jarvion Howard, a running back out of Alcorn State. Always fun to see guys out of Alcorn State after the very famous success of Donald Driver out of that university there. Nearly 5'10", not quite 5'10", 5'9 and change. 219 pounds, 7.39 relative athletic score. Of note, a 4.52 40-yard dash, a speed score of 104.9 running at that speed at that weight. And not for nothing, 28 reps on the bench. 200 reps would be something. 28 reps is not as many as 200, but still quite significant, especially for a running back there. Of note, he finished his career at Alcorn State after starting at Syracuse. He played 4 years at Syracuse, played kind of in air quotes. He really played 2 years at Syracuse. Here's how it broke down. In 2018, when he'd arrived, yes, another older prospect here, I played 12 games, carried 68 times for over 300 yards, scored 7 touchdowns. 2019, 11 games, another 76 carries, more than 300 yards again, scored 3 touchdowns. In 2020, nothing. The pandemic season, he was wiped out. He didn't play anything at all. 2021, just 3 games for the Orange. 3 games, 7 carries, no touchdowns, added a catch for 8 yards. Transfers to Alcorn State and blows up a little bit. In 11 games in 2022, carried 250 times for more than 1,200, nearly 1,300 yards, scored 12 touchdowns, added another 8 catches for 41 yards and another score. In 2023, not quite so successful, but still pretty good. 153 attempts, 773 yards, 7 touchdowns. Another 29 catches for 184 yards, those 29 catches, I guess, of note. He didn't hit any of the thresholds productivity-wise that we look for in our college running backs, but does appear to be able to contribute at least a little bit through the air. But a journeyman running back already, quite a story. 4 years in college at one spot, and then transferring for 2 more somewhere else, interrupted in there in the middle by a pandemic. Kind of reminds me of Emmanuel Wilson, kind of borderline athlete, college journeyman already. I really feel for those guys whose careers were interrupted by the pandemic. It just is a bummer for those guys that the shape and trajectory of their football journey was affected by all the things that went on that year, but can't be helped, I suppose. And now he's just got to make the best out of what he can coming into a loaded running back room here in Green Bay. Next up is Julian Hicks, a wide receiver out of Albany. Don't have a ton on Hicks. 6'1", 201 pounds, an elite athlete. 9.18 relative athletic score, elite 3-cone movement stuff, not so much the short shuttle, elite 10-yard split in the 40, though overall not inspiring numbers there, 10-foot-6-inch broad jump, so that's pretty outstanding as well, was Dane Brugler's wide receiver 107 in the Beast, a long road to get to this point for Hicks as well. Started out at Central Michigan, was there for a year, then moved over to Akron for a year, finished out his college career with 4 years at Albany. 72 catches, 1,139 yards at Albany, in addition to 17 touchdowns. Maybe this is just an excuse to bring up somebody that I think about a lot, but he reminds me a little bit of Torrey Gurley, who was with the Packers in 2011 and 2012 as a practice squad guy, was the next big thing as far as undrafted free agent wide receivers go. He and DeAndre Borrell and Jared Boykin had a battle. Boykin won, had really one pretty solid year with the Packers. Burrell really disappeared, and then Torrey Gurley went on a journey of all journeys over his NFL career. So 11 and 12, he's with the Packers. 2012, he's with the Vikings, also with the Raiders, also with the Buccaneers, also with the Chargers. So 5 different NFL teams just during the 2012 season at points. In 2013, he signs on with the Ravens with their practice squad, then jumps over to the Cleveland Browns for 2013, gets into 3 games with the Browns, records 1 catch for 15 yards, the single catch of his NFL career. The Buffalo Bills have him in camp for 2014. Then he's up in Canada with the Toronto Argonauts in 15 and 16, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in 2016 as well, and then the Ottawa Red Blacks in 2017. A long, long football journey for Torrey Gurley. And that's what Hicks makes me think of. He's already been on 3 different college teams, and he's off to the NFL to play with at least one more team before he hangs it up at the end of his football career, whenever that might happen to be. Next up is Messiah Swinson, a tight end out of Arizona State. I want you to picture the Hallelujah chorus in your head. I thought about putting it in here. Didn't want to jar anybody too badly by just dropping a second of loud classical music here right in the middle. But just, you know what I'm talking about here. 6'7", 259 pounds, 289 relative athletic score. So the Messiah may be coming, but he's coming relatively slowly with a 4.85 40-yard dash for Messiah Swinson here. Of note, he started his career at Missouri in 2018, tore up his knee in preseason camp, was back the next season, 2019, but played just one game, then stuck around for 2020 and 2021, such as they were. 7 catches, 84 yards over those 2 seasons, then transfers to Arizona State, 21 catches, 233 yards over his final 2 college seasons there. He is Brian Gutekunst's annual big Y tight end acquisition. He is Ben Sims, a big inline blocker, but less athletics. So if you're looking for comps, Sims, the archetypal comparison here would be Mercedes Lewis, but even Lewis was a fairly dynamic athlete early in his career, especially at his size. He's less athletic and even less big than both of those guys, but still plenty big. And if he can block at all, he's an interesting body to have around at that height and weight if you can add anything as a pass, or as a pass catcher at all. Trent Jones out of Michigan is up next, an offensive lineman there. 6'4", 310 pounds if you go by his pro day weight. 7.73 relative athletic score, very close to the Packers' thresholds. Not quite there, but very close. A career backup offensive lineman, just 13 starts over 5 seasons at Michigan, played right tackle for them in their national title run after Zach Zinter went down. Reminds me a little bit of somebody like Don Barkley from 10 years ago, longer than that now. Kind of a backup guard, some tackle capabilities, probably not going to light things up for you. But if you're looking for offensive line depth, not too shabby there. You could do a lot worse than that. Peter Bowden out of Wisconsin, a long snapper, is our next undrafted free agent here. 6'2", 239 pounds. I do not care what his relative athletic score is, and neither should you. Dane Brugler rated just 25 specialists in this year's Beast, 10 kickers, 10 punters, and 5 long snappers. 9 of those 25 guys got draftable grades, and Bowden was the only long snapper to get one. It's interesting to me that we have a competition at kicker and long snapper, but not punter. They do have a punter in camp or in mini camp for their rookie mini camp. I don't think that's real competition, barring something unexpected happening there. Of note, though, competition at kicker, serious competition going on at kicker. I think they have 4 of them on the roster right now, 3 of them at least, and then 1 guy in camp for the rookie mini camp tryout basis stuff. But nothing at punter. They do have the long snapper competition, at least seeming at this point. Reminds me a little bit of Hunter Bradley, just because I was thinking about Hunter Bradley the other day and just wanted to bring him up again on the podcast. Hunter Bradley. Raylan Goforth, our second to last undrafted free agent here. Linebacker out of Washington, off-ball linebacker, not the 3-4 edge type linebacker. 6'1", 227 pounds. 7.81 relative athletic score, mainly on the strength of his 40-yard dash. 4.62 is pretty respectable for an off-ball linebacker. Not great, but respectable to good. Very small, though. Probably a special teamer only at that weight. 6 career ball hawks in college, 99 and change speed score, so moves fairly well. Athletic enough, I think, to get looks on special teams, but that's probably about it. He reminds me a little bit of Joe Thomas, though probably not quite as good. Joe Thomas, the Packers linebacker, not Joe Thomas, the Browns offensive lineman. Thomas played more than 100 career games at roughly the same height and weight as Goforth. So it can be done. It just looks like it's going to be a tough road to hoe here for Goforth, that linebacker in Green Bay, looking at who is ahead of him on the depth chart. Finally, Rodney Matthews wraps things up. A defensive lineman out of Ohio, 6'1", 311 pounds. Nothing for him on the relative athletic score. You can run his numbers. It's not great. It's not outstanding really in any way. Shorter guy who played a ton of defensive tackle in college. All inside stuff for him. Call him an unimpressive Mike Daniels if you want to at that height and weight. But another interior defensive lineman for the Packers to look at least in this transition year, I think, for the defensive line a little bit. They're going to need bodies up front at some point. Never a bad idea to keep tabs on guys you think might be promising. I just don't think Matthews is going to make that big of a splash in Green Bay. If you're looking at realistic contenders here on the offensive line, I think Jennings has got to be the first one out of the gate here. They need depth on the offensive line. If you have any kind of versatility outside and inside, that's good to have. So Jennings at least checks those boxes in addition to being a pretty good athlete. As an interior mover there. And then I think Peter Bowden has a real shot here too. Matthew Orzech, said by many to not be very great last year. I've not taken a close look at his performance as a long snapper, but shoot, anything can happen here. And if you've got a guy like Dane Brugler who says he's the best in the class, I think that's at least worth taking note of. They're bringing in competition at long snapper. They're trying to win on the margins here. They're doing whatever they can to upgrade every position on the roster, including adding competition for their free agent signing last year, Matthew Orzech, at long snapper. Hey, I think that's something that you have to be encouraged about as a Packers fan, even if it's not the most glamorous of positions. We'll at least mention the guys the Packers have in town for their rookie minicamp. Don't expect a lot here. Alex McNulty is in, a kicker out of Buffalo. He was the 10th of the 10 kickers that Dane Brugler rated. Lots of competition, again, a kicker. You probably just need a kicker around for minicamp just to get kicking-related things done. If you want to see how guys field kicks and punts, you need a kicker and a punter. There's only so much you can do with the fancy jugs machine and whatever it is that they have, the Monarch, I think, that's in Green Bay now, the fancy computer-guided precision missile strike jugs machine type thing. It's not a jugs machine. If you say that online, they will very quickly correct you. I don't mean to offend the good people at Monarch. They're the company that makes that. It's not a jugs machine. I know that. But you got to have a real kicker if you want to simulate kicking conditions. And McNulty at least can probably do that for them at minicamp. Don Callis, a cornerback out of Troy, was Dane Brugler's cornerback 104 in the Beast, 5'11", 174 pounds, ran a 4.42, so at least avoids the small and slow designation there. Michael Bertoia, an offensive lineman out of UW La Crosse, it seems like this is something the Packers do almost every year, just get at least one of the UW schools to send a guy to rookie minicamp. It's a good story if nothing else. Bertoia's 53 out of the 53 centers, 53rd out of the 53 centers that Brugler rated in the Beast. Porter Wilson also in camp for as a punter out of Duke. He was the 9th out of 10 punters Dane Brugler looked at. Another guy for your ready list if something would happen and you need a punter, having a guy in rookie minicamp is a good thing to have. Again, just to have practice, you need somebody who can punt. And he's a punter, so he presumably can do that. 6'4 and a half, 241 pounds, so a big boy at punter as well. Finally, Roger Stona wraps up the rookie minicamp invite list, an international pathway player, a defensive end, but has never played football before. An interesting story here. Elite discus thrower at Clemson and Arkansas. Not clear what position, probably a defensive end, but that's where they list him. But at 6'6", 270 pounds, he at least fits the bill size-wise. Originally from Montego Bay, Jamaica, threw disc for both Clemson and Arkansas, did it well. A couple silver medals among his NCAA credentials there. Not Olympic silver medals, but NCAA silver medals as well. So good at throwing the flat round thing. We'll see what he can do as a defensive end. Probably not a whole lot, but partly the program is just to give exposure to guys from these different parts of the world who may not have a lot of interaction with football. And if he can do anything at all, that'll be interesting, and it's a fun story to follow throughout rookie minicamp and beyond. Those are the undrafted free agents, and that's all I've got for you in this episode of Blue 58. I appreciate you tuning in. I'd appreciate it even more if you'd take a second and share this episode with someone you think will enjoy it. That's going to help more people find the show and get more people involved in this conversation you and I are having about the Green Bay Packers, which in turn is going to help all of us, me included, become smarter Packers fans. And as I always say, smarter Packers fans are better Packers fans, and better Packers fans are what we all want to be. I'm your host, John Meerdink. We'll see you next time on Blue 58.